usually confined to a time. But when you fight the nafs, it's not confined to a time. It's all the time. You'll die. But when you fight yourself, if it kills you, you might go to Jahannam everlastingly. Because the self might drive someone out of Islam. And therefore the loss here is much greater. So that's what the difference basically. And that does not invalidate either. So no one says, you know, he's no. And we're not making a hadith that's hasan over a hadith that's authentic. We follow the grading of hadith. Tayyib. Where is the arsh? The arsh is the ceiling of Jannah, of paradise. You have the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, sixth heaven, seventh heaven. Then you have al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, which is like the Kaaba over there. And then separated from al-Bayt al-Ma'mur and separated from the seventh heaven, you have a Jannah. And then the ceiling of Jannah is al-Arsh. And don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the sitting on the Arsh or above the Arsh in place, because Allah does not need a place. Allah subjugate the Arsh, and what is above the Arsh and what is below the Arsh. They're all entities and they're all creation of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they all belong to Him. He created the Arsh to show His majesty. Like Al-Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'minin said, he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Arsh to show His majesty, not to make it a place for Him, because He doesn't need a place. He existed before the Arsh. Then He created the Arsh to show His majesty. طيب. What is Tawheed al-Hakimiyya? What is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya? Tawheed al-Rububiyya? And Tawheed. All these subdivisions of Tawheed are an innovation. Bid'ah. And this bid'ah was created about 600 years ago. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam had the Quran revealed to him. And the Quran is 6,226 or 62 actually ayahs. And none of the ayahs of Quran mention that tawheed, which is the most important thing in Islam, is three tawheeds. We only have one tawheed, not three. It says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. And there's no verse in the Quran, not even one word that says tawheed is tawheed rububiyya, uluhiyya, asma wa sifat, or hakimiyya, or all these things. Doesn't exist. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum tawheed for the first 13 years. First 13 years of the da'wah was only tawheed. Tawheed, 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 tawheed. And the Sahaba narrated to us everything, even how to do istinja, how to do istibra, how to do little minute things. And tawheed is the most important thing. And if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said something about that tawheed being three tawheeds, then they would have mentioned that to us, because that's the most important thing. And if there's any good thing in it, if this division making tawheed three tawheeds is good, then the Prophet would have told us about it, because this is tawheed, this is the most important thing. We don't need new bid'ahs in tawheed. The Quran has a tawheed. One third of the Quran is on tawheed. There's no tawheed rububiyya, uluhiyya, asma wa sifat in the Quran. Not only that, there's not a hadith. We have how many a hadith? 700,000 hadith, including the week. None in the 700,000 hadith narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of them. Not even the fabricated ones mention that tawheed is three. Rububiyya, uluhiyya, asma wa sifat. None of them. And I challenge anyone to produce one hadith that says tawheed is three. One hadith, regardless what the rank of that hadith is. Doesn't exist. The Sahaba are how many people? 124,000 Sahabis. And they all believed in tawheed and taught tawheed. And none, even one out of the 124,000, not even one, mentioned that tawheed is three things. At-Tabi'een. You want to go into the whole thing? And tabi'i tabi'een. Millions of people. Not one mentioned. Not one. Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad, Sufyan, Thawri, Hasan al-Basri. None of them mentioned anything. So now after 700 years, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody comes and says tawheed is three. We're sorry. Our tawheed is from Allah and His Prophet. I don't need anyone to come up and tell me what tawheed is. Because the reason, and I'll tell you the reason for the invention of this Tawheed. The reason for the invention of this Tawheed is so they can claim some people are mushriks and some people are not mushriks. And I think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I hope and I know you all agree with me, taught the Sahaba the perfect form of Tawheed. And if anything is preserved in this deen, is the Tawheed. And Allah will preserve Tawheed till the end of this life and forever and ever to come. And we have the Tawheed and we don't need anyone to beautify it anymore. It's already beautiful as it came to us. So therefore, I think it's a bid'ah, and it's a bid'ah of innovation. It's a bid'ah of bad innovation too. Bid'ah dhala, bid'ah sayyi'ah. And these people, they say, we can't accept bid'ah in fada'il a'mal. If you do tasbih, it's bid'ah. And then in tawheed, we have bid'ah. Subhanallah. Okay, fine, you don't want to have tasbih because you don't want to keep up a number. But now in tawheed, it's okay to have a bid'ah? Something that the Prophet didn't say, and the Sahaba didn't say, and the Salaf didn't say? Where is the taqleed in tawheed is okay, but taqleed in fada'il a'mal is not okay? Tabarakallah. And this is hawa. Where's the end? Tomorrow somebody else comes say tawheed is five portions. If you don't believe in all five, you're kafir. And someone then after 10 years says tawheed is six, tawheed is seven, tawheed is eight, tawheed is nine, tawheed is 10. Where do we stop? Where is the end? No. Tawheed is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Is being a policeman in a non-Muslim country allowed? You know, is living in a non-Muslim country allowed? And then being, you are living here already, inshallah, you have da'wah purposes on your mind, and that's why you live here. And I think that preserving your community and interacting and building bridges with everybody is mandatory upon few. Can you please shed some light on the area Allah says, I am as my servant think of me when Allah reveals Himself to the believers in paradise? There is no such thing. I don't know where you get these are all fabricated and weak ahadith revealing Himself. Allah is not hidden to be revealed. Allah is not veiled like some people. Some people think, or some these again the Torah infiltration, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is veiled. Who veils Allah? Who limits Allah? A creation limits the creator? Allah veils everything. Allah is not veiled. Allah is not behind curtains. Had a kufr. The belief in this is kufr. Wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. How many minutes we have? Two more minutes. Muslims believe that those Muslims that believe Allah physically sits on. I don't know where the word sits on the throne. I don't know where the word sits came from because it doesn't exist in the Quran nor the Sunnah. He has this belief made them depart Islam. Anyone who believes Allah sits has departed from Islam. Because sitting is only an attribute of the creation. Allah subjugates the arsh. And the arsh is under His power and subjugation. Doesn't need a... Sits on Him, that means what? The arsh is Akbar or Allah Akbar? Which? The arsh is containing Him or He contains the arsh? Which one? Allah needs support? Is that what someone's trying to say? Who supports Him? He supports everything. Can you pray behind these people? Definitely not. What is your views on keeping a beard? My beard is like yours. Cut down on the tea. Let me tell you something. Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Your uswa and your role example is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not Muhammad bin Yahya. That I'm not your lead by example. I am not your example. And in Islam, we don't have examples. In other words, we don't have priesthoods in Islam. We have our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have the Sunnah, and everybody must apply to that Sunnah. And therefore, the Sunnah would be like read of Brother Shifa, for example. So, of course, as you know, in the Hanafi school of thought, beard is wajib, and wajib is between fard. So we have two more minutes. The wajib is between fard and Sunnah, according to Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i. Which I follow that most of the time. Imam Shafi'i and Imam Malik, the beard is not wajib, it's a sunnah. But again, I don't want to get involved in the fiqh issue here because I am not a permanent person in this place. Maybe you'll never see me again. I want you in fiqh to go back to your local scholars who will give you fatwas based on, because you should keep always learning in these things. Assalamu alaikum. Those who do tajseem, they are quite often called scholars. I don't think so. If someone is attributing Allah to the creation, I don't think he's a scholar. He doesn't know anything about Allah. Is it valid to follow them in any area? No. And it's not valid. Call them followers of this scholars to be held accountable. Number one, there's no scholar that, if the scholar doesn't know the worshipped, if a scholar, so-called scholar, does not know who he worships, he's not a scholar. Number one. Number two, this course is not designed to make anyone a scholar. This is designed to give you a preview to the science of Aqidah. In other words, it is not a license for anybody to issue judgments on anybody. If you see a belief that you don't think it is according to the dalil that we're mentioning, the book and sunnah, you should just believe that this is wrong and say that this is wrong without issuing judgments, saying that they are anthropomorphist or they're not anthropomorphist, because you don't have that ability yet encompassing all these rules and all these circumstances around it to issue such a judgment. Fatwa is extremely important. And remember, if you say someone is an anthropomorphist or a mujassim, that means you're saying they are kuffar. And there is a hadith by Imam Muslim that said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever calls his fellow brother a kafir, then one of them is kafir. If you call a Muslim a kafir, he's not kafir, then you become kafir. So don't risk your deen. Make your deen must be very valuable to you. Don't let your tongue just, you know, have a party. Restrain yourself. You see something you don't agree with, don't issue judgment. Say, look, I think this is wrong. And because the reason is this and this and this, and I choose not to participate anymore. Thank you. And refer back to scholars. Once you become a scholar and you know all the evidences, then you may issue fatwa. But since you can't issue fatwa, please don't. And I beg you to do that. And people who say, you became a blasphemer, you became a blasphemer, this is very dangerous because they're putting themselves in the line of fire. And it's not up to you to declare Muslims non-Muslims. And the rest of the questions, inshallah, we will answer them tomorrow because our time is up. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad. Na'am. If it's quick, inshallah.
Is there a limit to the love that we could show towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any fear of elevating the status of the Prophet?
Keep that till tomorrow.
Not showing enough love.
Is there a limit to showing love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That some people say you should not show love or you should not do as much durood because you should not make so much love because then you associate him with Allah. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, these are the people. Those people are affected by Iblis. Those people who tell you that are affected by Iblis. Unless they think that you are such that you lack any mental capacity to differentiate between the Creator and the creation. The Prophet ﷺ is a creation, is not the Creator. But he is the most honorable of the creation. And if someone tells you this, tell him this. Tell me one thing that I said about the Prophet that he doesn't deserve, that he's not worthy of. If you give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam any of the attributes of Allah, that's a kufr wa ishraq. But to love him, there is, the more you love him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more you are closer to him. And the more his love controls your life and fills your heart, the more of a mu'min and the more of a believer you are. And the more you say durood on him, the closer you sit with him in the day of judgment. And those who tell you any other thing than that, they are not loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're trying to tell you, you are stupid, that you cannot differentiate between the Creator and the creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a creation by definition. He is the best of the creation and the most honorable of the creation. And you must, not only should, you must. And you cannot be a Muslim unless you love him more than you love anything in your life. And you must demonstrate that by loving him and saying durood on him. Wallah, if you say durood on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 25 hours a day, not 24, it is not enough. It is not enough. You will not give him what he deserves. He is worthy much more than that. Wallahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad.